Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's WebSphere Technical Exchange conference call. As a reminder, today's call is being recorded. For opening remarks and introductions, at this time I would like to turn the call over to Joseph Lamb. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Heather, and welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is Top 10 COS Communication Server Networking Problems and How to Isolate Them with IBM OmegaMon and NetView. Today's presenter is Ernie Human. Ernie currently specializes on Tivoli System C end-to-end solutions. He is the creator of IBM EntuneMon, an expert system for managing communication controllers. Since joining IBM in 1974, he has been a technical expert on solutions such as VTAM, NCP, NetView, and OmegaMon. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Ernie.
Well, thank you very much. I was very excited when I decided to create this presentation because it gave me a chance to apply some of the expertise I have in OmegaMon and NetView to my early roots when I was a VTAM expert early in my career. Let's go on to slide 3. When I discuss the top 10 communication server for ZOS problems, I'm really focusing on the operational issues that come up with OmegaMon and NetView, the things that they can specifically address. Not necessarily we're getting into startup issues and configuration issues at the beginning, although there are some that I will talk about in one of the problem sections when I get into managing the stacks. I will start with a very short overview of the management solutions, just enough so that you can get a feel for, okay, what is OmegaMon, what are the interfaces and so forth. I'm not going to get into some of the infrastructure. There are other webcasts that you can go to, and I've got references to those at the end of the session. I also have a list of common acronyms that come up during these sessions at the end of the presentation. So if you hear something like what is an EE, Enterprise Extender, whatever, I have added a selection of those at the end. Okay, let's go to slide 4. As networks have evolved from self-managing SNA networks to TCP/IP, so have management tools. The SNA networking environment was basically assured delivery. So you didn't have a case where, you know, you sent 100,000 frames and then we would discard them if we couldn't handle them enough. We would have VR flow control to slow things down. And you also had things like generic alerts where all the endpoints and middleware would tell you where the problem was. As we moved over to TCP/IP, and now it's SNA going over TCP/IP, the management has really changed, where you now have to do SNMP polling and set thresholds and so forth. So one of the things I'm going to get into is talk about different techniques in solving different issues. And when we're talking about, especially when you have SNA over IP, you've really got to manage both the SNA environment, which is some of the VR flow control, and the TCP/IP or UDP, as I'll talk about later, and some of the things you have to look at. Let's go to slide 5. And I just want to quickly position a lot of the solutions that I'll be talking about today. Actually, so for some of you who may not be aware, Tivoli is an IBM division focused on systems management and why many of the IBM solutions now include Tivoli Loco. Typically, if Tivoli gets involved with end-to-end management and so forth, whereas you will see some IBM system management solutions that only are very, very specific to maybe a given platform, then maybe you will not see the Tivoli Loco. At the top of the chart, you'll see NetView for ZOS, which has evolved to now manage not only SNA, which it's really started its roots, but also TCP/IP. It's also focused on operations, automation, and topology. So it actually is the platform for automation in many cases. But it has a lot more than that you'll see in some of the scenarios I talk about today. At the bottom of the chart, we have OmegaMon for mainframe networks, which is focused on performance management for SNA and TCP/IP. As many of you know, IBM acquired Candle several years ago, where OmegaMon was originally developed. And you'll normally see the OmegaMon logo on IBM typically mainframe performance solutions. On distributed environments, we don't normally use the OmegaMon name. They'll use something called ITM. So just so you understand as a background. Both NetView and OmegaMon run independently of each other. So basically, if you just have NetView or just get OmegaMon, you should be able to get something out of this presentation. But I will show you that if you do have both, I'll show you how they can both work seamlessly together. For those who still have 3755 communication controllers, there actually is an evolution of that with the new CCL or communication controller links. I'll talk briefly of that at the end of the session. And I'll describe how OmegaMon for mainframe networks actually bundles some of the what I would call legacy SNA tools such as NPM and also OmegaMon 2 for managing these environments. And so that's actually part of the mainframe network solution. finally, as you can see in the corner here, there's an expert system called EntuneMan, which is something I wrote years ago and runs on top of Nephew. I'll just briefly mention that. Let's go to slide 6. Both Nephew and Omega Mount continue to give users a choice of interfaces, either from the 32 Sony interface or what I'll call the Tivoli Enterprise Portal, or TAP, which is basically a web interface that we'll talk more about that. Now, looking on the left-hand side, Nephew continues to support several interfaces, including the 32 Sony interface, the old NECF interface, as we call it, NMC, which is the Network Management Console, or basically can give you a topology view of your network. There's also a web browser interface. And then starting with Nephew Vibe 2, which is the current release, we actually support the Tivoli Enterprise Portal. On the OmegaMon side, of course, we also have the OmegaMon Classic, which goes through the 3270 interface, the OmegaMon 2, which is basically also a 3270 interface. And then starting with the OmegaMon XE interface releases, we now support the Tivoli Enterprise Portal. And with the OmegaMon DE, you can actually combine these views, both Nephew views and OmegaMon views, into a common workspace, which I'll give you some examples of that. Let's go down to slide 7. This is just basically some of the solutions I'll be talking about today. For example, the Tivoli Enterprise Portals is really the realization of a goal that IBM, and actually I've had for many years, for a common management console for performance management of middleware. I'll be discussing these as I go through different aspects of managing the comm server. For example, I'll mention the ZOS Health Check, which is now integrates something called the ZOS Management Console, which I'll talk a little bit about, and some of the other megamons. But basically, we're seeing all the IBM middleware, such as the network, the DB2, CISIS, IMS storage, web servers, ZBM, and so forth, even all the distributed environments now using the Tivoli Enterprise Portal. So that's really something that allows us to really get to the data quickly and reduce the skill level of the operators that are needed. Let's go to slide 8. Just a quick overview of what the Tivoli Enterprise Portal, you'll be seeing screen captures that I put together on live systems. Now, some of them I've actually modified to highlight some metrics that I want you to show. So just so you know, typically when you have a workspace, it'll come up and it'll say, okay, these are the 4 things you need to look at. So in doing so, we actually have some of the best practices with our workspaces. So, for example, if you're looking at a connections problem or OSA Express problem, well, we recommend you look at retries, and we look at the microcode level and things like that. So what we'll do is we'll have multiple workspaces that you can look at that'll help you. And a lot of these are out of the box, but if you want to modify them, which I do, it's usually a couple mouse clicks, and you can change it and save it. I'll also be giving you examples of how we can be proactive with something called situations, in which I can set thresholds or a combination of things to look for out of the box, and I'll talk more about that later. Let's go to slide 9. Just briefly tell you about situation, because I will be talking more depth about what a situation is. It allows us to be proactive. So if you see situations going on, a condition going on over and over again that you want the operator to be alerted for, with, so they don't actually have to be on the screen, these are easy to create and modify through the Tivoli Enterprise Portal. Okay, so they don't really have to write a script to say, okay, I want you to look at large FTPs during first shift, for example. Well, we actually have some out of the box, and then you can just modify it. You can say, well, what is first shift? So we can actually specify that. And we actually ship, OmegaMon ships actually hundreds of different situations, which I would characterize as best practices, because they all include expert advice. And I'm going to give you a couple examples of, when I say expert advice, I really do mean some detailed advice as far as what the problem is and so forth. We also have ability to highlight different critical attributes that you don't necessarily want the operator notified on automatically, but maybe if they happen to be looking at the workspace, you want to highlight certain things if they happen to be there. On the example on the screen here, you can see response time is high, so I'll turn that red, for example, but like if it's greater than 5, but I don't necessarily want to notify the operator because it may not necessarily be an issue. Let's go to slide 10. Now, Nephew for ZOS, the OmegaMon for mainframe networks, were all developed in Raleigh, North Carolina, our Research Triangle Park. And that has really helped in addressing some of the major problems, especially some of our largest customers who are looking for really good performance from our products. So what we've done is they seem to come together and actually to help design APIs in ComServer to help dramatically reduce the performance and overhead, and also to eliminate the need to use things like netstat commands or SNP polling. Okay, and we've seen in our performance testing, we've seen an order of magnitude difference performance as we've moved to these APIs. some of the APIs is we've got Nephew uses some of them, and Omegamount XC for mainframe network uses some of them. For example, Nephew has the old SNA APIs that NLDM uses, and those were developed many years ago. There's also a Trace API that Nephew uses, which is fairly new for TCP/IP packet trace, and I'll talk a little bit about that a little bit more. And then the mainframe networks also uses, there's a VTeam API for things like Enterprise Extender and HPR buffers. There's also a TCP/IP API to get notified of connections and so forth. And then we also have SNMP, which ComServer also does. So these basically formalize APIs so we don't have to go running control blocks, and we do extensive testing for performance. Let's go to slide 11. And as I go through the top 10 categories, I'll give you a slide to tell you which one I'm looking at as kind of an introduction here. So for example, we're going to start off with the IP stacks. Now, problems with IP stacks can impact all TCP/IP performance, as you can imagine. So to resolve these problems, you may have to look at statistics on traffic, errors, and buffers, okay? So as you can see, throughout my top 10, I'll be talking about stacks, and later on I'll talk about interfaces and gateways and connections. So as I go through this, you'll see versions of this graphic that you see here. Okay. For example, I may want to look at things like out of order buffers that could be causing issues. I could have segmenting errors. And those things will pop up on some of the workspaces and will generate slow TCP/IP performance. So I'll give you some examples of that a little bit later. Let's go to slide 13. One of the things I talked about is ZOS actually started shipping this in ZOS 1.4. Before that, they shipped something called the Health Checker. Previously, this has been available as a batch job. So you run the batch job, and they would tell you of different problems that it sees, you know, some parameters or something shouldn't be up, which is actually pretty good. It notified the operators. But now they wanted to make this a lot easier to use. So now they bundled something called the IBM ZOS Megamon Management Console. Basically, you get this with ZOS now, and it includes some of the what I call the typically enterprise portal view of the things that used to go. You only used to be able to look through the health checker. Okay, so you can look at, so you have some information from that, and then if you want to deep dive into ZOS, then you can go ahead and buy the official, the IBM Tivoli Omegamon on ZOS. So really, there's really two things here. One is the management console that comes with ZOS, and then if you want, you can also purchase Omegamon on ZOS, which is a separate product. And the screen capture I'm having on the screen is this console. A lot of people have not turned it on, and there's actually information here that you won't see, even if you have a Megamon to ZOS, you won't see some of this information. Okay, so here you have a screen capture, and actually there's three checks in here specific for ComServer. For example, here you'll see max sockets or file proc is set too low. This would cause new connections to be rejected, so that's an early warning, and you can see on the screen. And they do a very nice job in explaining what these parameters are and what they mean. And then with ZOS 1A, they actually added a couple more. They have one for receive buffer size being too small, and this could actually cause performance problems. So I recommend you turn this on. It comes with the product now, and it could be very helpful. Let's go to slide 14, and let's go a little more detail on TCP/IP stack isolation. Mainframe Networks provides key statistics that can help isolate performance issues. Here you see at the bottom is just a portion of a workspace. Because, like I said, workspaces typically may have five or six windows, but just so for readability, I'll just showing a subset of some of these. You can see, you notice the reassembly count is 6,453. And maybe that's a problem, so you could set a situation on that. And we actually have a whole variety of situations that we create right out of the box. For example, there's output IP segments, discards, percent inbound segments, and so forth. So there's a whole variety of what I would call best practice warnings that you could, and a lot of them are turned off, but you can just go and say, I won't turn it on, okay? And then you can modify them without writing scripts. You can say, I want to increase the threshold from 80% to 85%. So that's very strong in terms of getting some of the out-awareness. Let's go to slide 14. And now we're going from performance into what I would call deep dive operations and diagnosis, and that's where Nephew for ZOS is a very strong point. So let's say I want to say, okay, I want to issue the traditional TCP/IP command. So you want to do SNMP polling or ping, traceroute. even look at the packet trace. So we can see that we can issue these commands to a variety of Neptune interfaces. We have 3270 interfaces. You can issue these commands. You can use the real-time polar, which is a little GUI interface. There's a MIT browser. There's a web interface. We can issue commands from the NMC, which is that topology interface I was talking about. So you have a whole variety of ways to issue what I would say standard commands. And you can actually embed these in Rex execs, for example, if you want to automate some. And for traces, a lot of people don't realize this. You know, we used to have the SNA trace. We can now see the formatted packet trace for TCP/IP. And this uses a new API from ComServer so that not only will get the data, but ComServer formats it for us. So basically, the formatted data is the same whether you're running it from ComServer C-Trace or you're doing it through the interactive interfaces through NetView. This was originally shipped as version 5.1 as a PTF and is now included in 5.2. Basically, that allows you the deep dive that you talk about. I'll mention a little bit later, if to some of you still running some SNA, I have a screen capture of the SNA trace, which will also show you. Let's go to slide 16. Here we're saying, again, when you're looking at stack provisioning problems, you could also want to look at storage. So, for example, you could have high utilization of storage if you have a high network congestion. You know, one of the things when I started in working on VTAM and the network comm server years ago, things start to back up. They start backing up in storage. So that could be an early indication of network congestion, for example, because that's the way we do it. We use the things back up. And we didn't want to lose any buffers, so we didn't want to do discounts, for example. So that would be some of the screens. And this is a screen that actually I modified it to make it a little bit more graphical. So instead of seeing a bar graph, I put a little bit more colors on some of these. So this is to each your performance. But out of the box, we do ship a lot of different situations against it. So that, common ones for CSA below the line, percentage of private storage versus the max of if it's going high, you want to be notified. So something you could just turn on, and so you don't only have to go to the workspaces. You'll get notified with indicators that say, okay, you've hit the threshold. Maybe now is the time to look at these workspaces. So this is helpful out of the box. Let's go to slide 17. And this is just a brief summary of everything I've discussed today. So I talked about how you could be proactive with the ZOS management console. You get that with ZOS. You might as well go ahead. You should turn that on. And like I said, there are some things you'll see here that you're not going to see with the standard or Megamount on ZOS. That's something you may want to look at. You will look at the stack performance. If you're having discards, timeouts, fragmentation, reassembly errors, and so forth, even the telnet pool, that's running low. I'll talk a little bit more about that later. You want to look at the buffers, and, of course, you got NetView to help you with some of the operations and tracing. So let's go to slide 18, and now we're going to talk on the second problem, which is what I would call intrusion detection or denial of service attack. What is a denial of service attack? Let's go to slide 19. Well, basically, an intrusion, there are different types of intrusion attacks. So, for example, somebody could try to gather information, hackers looking at open ports, for example. What they normally do in some cases is they'll take over, they find a PC in the network that has no security on it, and they take it over, and they turn what they call a zombie, and then they have hundreds or thousands of these, and then they coordinate an attack on the site, and it basically shuts it down, okay? So what we do is, well, it's one thing to monitor this, which Megamind do, but maybe I want to do a fast automation to do something quickly because I don't want to wait. So that's kind of things that you want to look at. Now, obviously, firewalls can help provide some level of threat protection, but you really need multiple layers to protect yourself. So let's go to slide 20 and talk about what ComServer has been doing and how the NetView and Megamind can also help with this. ComServer actually has something called the Intrusion Detection Service, or IDS, that you can turn on. And that allows you to quickly detect that there's a problem. Now, what NetView has done is written some code to get this notification from the comm server, and it can go ahead and forward this awareness to a variety of services. It can send a message, issue commands, emails to notify operators under attack for the statistics. Okay, and some of the information it gathers would be the type of intrusion, IP address, who's under attack. And it can even integrate into what I would call a more enterprise version of intrusion detection, which is something used to be called Risk Manager, now it's called the Tivoli Security Operation Manager, that can figure out what I would call a coordinated attack. It can detect that because many times you're going over multiple ports and multiple systems could be impacted. So that would be something you can coordinate to look at. Now, a Megamind for mainstream networks can also see something is going on because it's looking at things like UDP errors and high traffic increases. For example, on the screen captures you have on the screen, you're seeing percentage of buffers being thrown away. I mean, obviously, if it goes to 94% of the U2B traffic is being thrown away, obviously it's probably a good chance that maybe you are under attack or something like that. So I just show you a subset of one of the screens, and maybe you'd probably want to have a situation on that. Well, let's go to slide 21, and we're going to look at dynamic virtual IP address, or DVIPA, as we'll refer to that. Well, what is that? Let's go to slide 22. Basically, at a very high level, DVIPA allows for load sharing of network traffic among multiple LPARs. And that's where NetView for ZOS really shines here, okay? So you can monitor the DVIPA connection distribution. On the right-hand side, you can see a subset of a NetView TEP window showing a connection distribution over one of the LPARs. So you can see two of them have a lot of connections, one of them doesn't have very many. So that could be an indication, okay, I need to look into that. Why isn't the load being distributed among all my LPARs? Okay, so in that case, and this could be due to a variety of reasons. For example, you could have XCF communication problems on ZOS, or it could be a workload manager or WLM issues, okay? And that's the beautiful thing about using the Tivoli's Enterprise Portal, because I can go from one solution to another. So, I could link, let's say, a NetView screen or a mainframe network screen to a Megamon on XC on ZOS, and that has actually some workspaces for workload managers. So here on the screen, what you're seeing at the bottom now is an Megamon XC on a workload manager screen, and here you're seeing, you know, the gold type and whatever. Maybe it was set up wrong, or maybe in this case the CPU is high, see? So it's all the reason why it's not going loaded to one of the LPARs is because the CPU is high. So that's where all the Megamons work together. So seamlessly, you can create a workspace that says, I want a workspace showing a workspace, you know, something from NetView and then something from a Megamon XC on ZOS, and you can put that on one workspace, or you can be separate if you want. So that's very powerful in putting this together. Let's go to slide 23, and let's go in a little bit more detail on OSA Express and channel interfaces. Slide 24. So, you know, the question comes up, okay, why is the channel running low? Now, again, just like the stack, this could impact your whole environment. There could be a variety of reasons. For example, maybe it's a simple matter of it's down. You know, it could be a status. You know, so I want to look at the current status. Maybe the MTU size is wrong. These are the sizes of the segments that are coming in. Maybe that wasn't customized correctly. I may want to look at that. Is there any traffic going on? The traffic rates, okay? Are we getting any errors and so forth? So those are all some of the things you want to look at. So let's look at slide 25. And basically, Megamon for mainframe networks will actually show you different information, and we organize it by interfaces, gateways, and devices. So we get different information from all of those things. But if you want, you can put them all together on one workspace if you wanted to. For example, from interfaces, we're seeing things like packet errors, bandwidth utilization, maybe high or low. And here's where you see the MTU size, which I mentioned before. That, for example, default normally is 576, except for OSA Express. Okay, which is 1492. So if you're looking at the screen, I did a screen capture, you can actually see the MTU size that I've captured in here. And you say, okay, if, you know, it's really low for this environment, you can actually go ahead and say, okay, that's why the problem is. For gateways, we'll actually see the attaching router IP address. So maybe the router is down, or maybe I'm even attaching to the wrong device. So that could be something there, or it could be down. And then the final category, we look at devices. So you can, I show a little snippet here. Maybe the device is down, or I have something backed up on the queue. So we should provide a little bit of information under all these, and these could all explain why you might have some serious performance problems that are impacting all your applications going through the connections. Okay, let's go to slide 26, and let's go to a little bit more detail into OSA Express itself. Okay. When looking at OSA Express, I may want to look at it, and we may want different views. So I may want to look at this by ports or by LPARs, and so that's something we can actually do. So I can see all the LPARs from LPARs connected into. So you have your choice of how you want to view this, or slice and dice it, as they call. Maybe I may want to look at the microcode level, because that could be giving off performance problems. One of the things that who have been involved with OS Express over the years will know that there's been extensive work done on performance of all the channels, especially the OS Express, and you will see dramatic improvement in performance with microcode level. If you're way down level on microcode, that could explain why you may be having performance problems. And here on the screen, I've done a screen capture, and we actually will show you the microcode level. So things, little tidbits like that are very important in helping solve problems that can come out. Now, if you want to look at things like utilization, transmission rates, how is it going, we'll also display that information. Now, all that information is displayed through something called the SNMP subagents. Okay, so if you are having problems with that, make sure you set up the subagents. There's a procedure that ZOS documents on how to set that up. So a lot of people forget to set that up. Now, let's say you're having problems with SNMP. There's something wrong with SNMP. Let's go to slide 27, and that's where another value of a Megamon comes in, because we can actually monitor all the daemons that are running under Unix system services. For example, the OSNMP NPD, is it running or has it got problems? And there's others that Comm Server uses too. You know, there's one for FTP and then one for Telnet. So basically what you could do is you can monitor these, and you can actually do something what I call reflex automation, so that if it goes down, I'll automatically recover it. So this is management of Unix system services. Actually used to be a separate product. It used to be a Megamon for USS. But with the latest of Megamon, which is a Megamon on ZOS version 4.1, it's now bundled with a Megamon on ZOS 4.1. So that's basically what you're seeing over time is that we're actually reducing the number of products as we move forward. Okay? Let's go down to slide 28. This is just a summary of everything I've talked about. So we talked about managing interfaces and devices, gateways, and how these different metrics can help you resolve the problem. Unix system services can help you if some of the services aren't running, such as SNMP or FTP and so forth. But to help you with some of the best practices, we do ship a whole variety of situations to help you with the stack, with the channel interfaces. For example, we have some for percent received capacity, bandwidth utilization, packets. You know, you have 50% of the packets are in air, or packets are being discarded. Okay, there could be problems. Again, maybe there's a denial service attack going on, or something serious is configured incorrectly on one of the routers. So all these can help you in terms of managing these environments. Let's go to slide 29. And now we're going to take a look at TCP/IP connections. Okay, so we'll look at connections generically first, and then we're going to break down the problems by applications, FTPs, and team search assembly. Just so you understand, those are also connections. So that these would be kind of what I would say a subset or connections. So I'll just give you a high level, and then we'll delve down into those three a little bit later. Let's go to slide 30. And I would say there's two major types of connections. You've got UDP connections, which provides no error recovery at all. So if you want error recovery, that has to be done at the endpoints. And as you hear me talk about later, Enterprise Extender uses UDP, so it does the error recovery. So that's one thing I understand. And then you have TCP/IP connections, which will do error recovery. So what you'll see is different types of statistics for each one because of what they do, okay? And let's go into more detail on what you see for TCP/IP connections on slide 31. So some of the things, and I'll just go over some of the common things that you may need to look at when you're looking at TCP/IP connections that will typically be problems with performance, or maybe I can't get connected in. For example, out-of-order problems. Let's say what can happen is I set up a large segment, and it's so big that it has to be broken up. And when it broken up, these segments can go through different routes. You know, one can go to one router, another can go to another router, and if you have it configured incorrectly, you could have a lot of out of orders. Okay, so it has to wait. The endpoints have to wait for all these things to come together on TCP/IP, and that could dramatically impact your performance. So that would be something certainly you'd want to look for. Okay. Retransmissions, again, you could have congestion in the network. So you also, again, you're going to want to look at how the, and I put a screen capture on retransmissions, just a snippet of how that would look We showed, you know, that mainframe networks could look at retransmissions on the last sample and then totally, so you can see if this is a burst or not. And then you maybe you have discards. We'll look at discards again. This could also be due to high CPU or low storage or low buffers. It can't handle the load coming in. That could also generate discards, okay? Because remember, there's no, you know, if something comes in and can't handle it, it's going to throw it away, okay? So that's basically the way TCP/IP works, okay? And then you have to resend it again. And then you have something called response time variance. As you can see in the example on the right-hand side, what we can do is we'll look at, well, you can look at, well, this is what the response time normally is, but for this one time we had an unusually long response time. So that's, you know, a lot of times you need a baseline to say, okay, is this really good or not? You know, you really don't know. And that's why the variance is very, very powerful, so you can actually see that. You can actually set situations on that. So those are the things where we get into. And then finally, at the bottom, we have connection backlog and rejections, okay? So if you've got, like, all of a sudden you get 100,000 connections in 1 second, maybe I've got my backlog limit too low, which is a parameter you can set. So those are the type of things you can go ahead and modify. Mainframe networks will let you look at that. And you can actually set situations on that to warn you of those conditions. Let's go to slide 32. Now, NetView will also show some TCP/IP statistics. Just like mainframe networks, as I showed. So there is some overlap between the two. The interesting thing about NetView is it will, in addition to both products, will show a workspace history, which says, okay, every 15 minutes or whatever, I want you to snapshot the workspace. Okay, so all the Omega, anything using the TEP can see that. But what NetView can do is it will actually show inactive sessions. So and it's not just taking a snapshot. It says, okay, it actually looks at the SMF data and actually sees that the session has gone down, and here's the metrics. So that's a little bit of information is why would I want to take a look at NetView, okay? Now, the workspace history, which I talked about, and actually this came in with the Megamon version 4.1, will actually automatically do pruning and summarization over time, so that actually has the ability to reduce the amount of data over a long period of time, because the amount of data that you can save in history can be quite large, okay? The key here is the operators can go from a NetView view workspace to a mainframe network, and what I would call deep dive view, just through a right click. So here, and you see an example here, we have a right click from a NetView screen, and then you can do a, what we call a link to the mainframe network screen. So basically, by making it easy to go through these workspaces, then I can get to the data more quickly and resolve my problem. Let's go to slide 33. And here's an example here, of what we call round-trip variance that I talked briefly before. And you can see a very high response time is significantly higher than normal. And of course, that's what the variance talks about. And that's probably due to retransmission, which is normally caused by network congestion. So here you have one screen where I've highlighted different things on the screen where I can get a good idea where the problem resides. I mean, let's go to slide 34. And so here we see an out-of-the-box situation, and one of the things I was talking about for connection around trip time. Okay, so mainframe networks captures the initial attributes. Okay, and it compares it to the current ones to see is the problem getting worse or better. So this is kind of what we used to call first failure data capture. So we've seen all the attributes before and after. And what's really helpful is what you see at the bottom right-hand screen is what we call the expert advice. And you can see a very good description that suggests action. Okay, and if you read this, it says take a look at the round-trip, look at the variance. And we described it. So here's a case where some things I'm talking about, I was going around looking at the expert advices. Oh, this is exactly what I was telling people. So I was surprised to catch this. Like I said, the expert advice has a lot of good advice that's built into it. Let's go to slide 35. This basically is a summary of managing the connection. So, for example, we talked briefly on the TCP/IP connections and some of the conditions you may want to look for. UDP, which I'm going to talk about a little bit more later, we're going to talk about discards and traffic. And you, remember, you don't have the recovery there. So I'll talk a little bit about it when we get to Enterprise Extender. And then we can use other resources, other Megamods to help me with the other problems that could impact my connection, such as the L6 Express and so forth. And here's a list of a lot of the TCP/IP situations that we ship out of the box, and I've already talked about some of these today. Let's go to slide 36. And now let's break down the TCP/IP connections that I just talked about by application problems. Okay? Let's go to 37. Okay, previously, we looked at UDB and TCP/IP connections. Now we want to investigate by application because maybe my application is running slow. Okay, so maybe it's just one. You could have run into a case that's only one application that is being impacted, nobody else, and you can't figure it out. So what we can do is you can look at statistics for a given application by response time, retransmissions, out of segments, just like we talked before, but by application, and you might be able to say, ah, this is why my performance is bad. Okay, so let's go to slide 38, and this is an example of a workspace that I talked about. So we're looking at statistics by a specific by application, so I can quickly prove that if the network is really part of the problem or is it by application. This workspace shows us applications that might have the most traffic, for example. Okay, so I can isolate the applications that are really impacting us the most. Okay. So here we can see, if you look at the screen, you can see 25% of the segments are being retransmitted on the bottom right-hand side, and I've highlighted that with a view filter, okay? And 33 of order. So obviously this could be the reason why the specific application is having performance. Why is that application? Well, maybe it's sending an unusually large buffer or something like that, so we can look at that further. What I would recommend is something being more proactive, maybe turning on one of the out-of-the-box situations, such as percent retransmission segments, which is one of the ones we ship out of the box. Turn it on, and you can actually maybe modify from 80% to 90%, okay? Then we can see is it a networking problem or is it an application problem? Let's go to slide 39, because maybe it's not a networking problem. So how do the applications see the problem? So we can navigate directly from a networking view to a CICS view. We actually ship this out of the box. We have dynamic links from mainframe networks into Megamon for CICS. So if you don't have it, then obviously you won't. If you don't have a Megamon XA for CICS, you won't be able to navigate. But this is how, as you add, if you do have these other solutions, then you'll be able to navigate to this. And you can see on the screen here, I've done a subset of CICS viewers looking at MAC sockets. Okay, if max output is too low, it can cause delays and timeouts. So that's a case where, okay, it's a problem with one of the CICS parameters. Let's go to slide 39. So maybe we have maybe it's not a CICS problem. Maybe it's a system problem with ZOS. Just as we do with CICS, we actually have out of the box a dynamic link from mainframe networks to a Megamon on ZOS. Here we can see, okay, maybe the performance problem is due to the high CPU utilization, which you can see at the screen at the bottom here, and it's up above 90%. So that could be the reason we're having issues here. So the key is being able to navigate to the right view quickly. Let's go to slide 41. So in summary, in addition to connection performance statistics that we discussed earlier, we want to be able to drill down to the applications such as CSCS, IMS, WebSphere, just to name a few. It's not about having the data that we need to solve problems, but to be able to quickly get to it. Because the data is there someplace. You know, it's, okay, somewhere I know this data exists. But if I can't get to it, what use is it? And that's the whole thing about using the Tivoli Enterprise Portal, be able to get to the different environments that you have. Let's go to slide 42, and let's look a little more detail into FTP problems. Okay? Let's go to slide 43. Now, a Megamon for mainframe network shows both what we call the FTP control session, which stays up for a long time, and the individual transfers, both the inactive and the active ones. This allows me to see if an FTP is hung, or if it's failed, or if I want to see if you have a very large FTP. Okay, this is a screen capture, just one of the many workspaces that we ship out of the box. Here we see a very large FTP. We can see how long it took to see the last command that was issued. And most importantly, we see the data set name here. In this example, someone was transferring a dump during the first shift. So what I could actually do to catch this is I could take one of the out-of-box situations and then say, okay, my first shift is 9 to 5, and I can say, okay, turn that have this situation, evaluate this from 9 to 5, and if it's a live situation, I want to be notified, okay? So let's go to slide 44. And in summary, Mainframe Networks can help me identify large FTPs, hangs, other type of errors. Basically, what I did show you is we can even find out who's doing it, so we can actually give you more detail. And, of course, the out-of-the-box best practices, we have all the situations that I've listed here, such as networking errors, dot rates, and so forth, system errors. Now, if I want to, maybe the problem has to do with my data sets having performance problems, okay? That's where other MegaMonster can help you with that, too. For example, MegaMonster Storage can help relate data set performance issues to a given storage device, such as a Shark. You know, maybe I have some caching issues. So I can relate the two. So basically, I may go from FTP to MegaMonster on ZOS, or maybe go to MegaMonster Storage and see, okay, the problem with my data set has nothing to do with my storage. And of course, FTP is a USS application, so if FTP isn't working, you want to look at MegaMonster on ZOS and see if my FTP daemon is running. So all these things work together, and maybe I can set a situation so I don't even have to go to that screen. Let's go to slide 45. And let's look into another type of connection, which is really the TN3270 connection. So let's go to slide 46. And this is specifically when the TN3270 is running on ZOS. If it's, TN3270 servers can run on different COM servers, for example, Linux, and even on networking devices. But when it's on ZOS, the COM server provides a tremendous amount of information for performance. And a MegaMonster made from networks picks up this information through the APIs we talked about earlier. It leverages it. And it, for example, on the screen here, we'll actually break down the response time by SNA and IP time. Okay, for example, the SNA response time could be due to high application workloads versus the networking problems. So you can help isolate that and maybe go to one of the other MegaMonster, such as CISAs. It will also show you things like log mode. So maybe a log mode problem could cause log on failures, or maybe you even get something as simple as the wrong screen size. So we'll all see that through the 3270 workspaces. Okay. And actually, the current release of COM server, this is currently available, we have something called sliding windows, which is somebody who's been around for a while. It used to be very similar to the RTM or response time monitor buckets. So, you know, like number of responses for within a sub-second and 5 seconds and 10 seconds, so we'll break it down, the performance here, and these are functions shows that COM servers continue to add capabilities in terms of the management, and Mainframe Networks is picking that up and continuing to manage that. So I'll look at the performance of my TN3270 session. Let's look at slide 47, and just remind you, TN3270 does appear to be an LU, in a sense, SNA resource, LU2 over IP, and because of that, NetView will aptly see this as, in some respect, an SNA session. So here you have, and by the way, if this screen is too big, you can slide up and down, but this is actually a screen capture of the NetView's traces here. Remember, I already talked, you know, this will show up in the TCP/IP traces that NetView has that I showed you earlier, but it'll also show up in the SNA traces. So there's a command called NLDM, which is now called Session Monitor, as it's now called. And here you're seeing the truncated data, but we'll also see if you want, you can actually see the full data here. So this is a 3270 screen. You can actually go and see this interactively. So this continues to work, which a lot of people don't realize. Well, I thought it was TCP/IP. Well, so we actually have two traces that you can look at. Let's go to slide 48. And this is, in summary, the 3270 Mainframe Networks will leverage the COM server API to allow tremendous scalability in large networks. And we actually did see this in our test performance testing that we can provide this. This can actually run in large environments with very limited overhead. Here we have, I've listed some of the situations that we ship out of the box, such as average response time. If it goes high, maybe I want to notify the operator. And also I listed here is the telnet pool situation, which can help avoid potential short end storage conditions. And this could cause problems with a TN3270 session's failure to come up. Okay, so this is kind of a list that I'm showing you here. And, of course, you can still use Nephew to see some of the traces and from LDM outside of the house. Let's go to slide 49. And now let's discuss an area which I get a lot of interest on, and that is SNA over IP, such as Enterprise Extender and HPR. So let's go to slide 59. Now, since Enterprise Extender, or EE, as I show on the screen, flows over UDP, Enterprise Extender must perform all the retransmissions because UDP does not do any retransmission. So the statistics is quite different. So now HPR can also flow to Enterprise Extender. So you actually need to monitor both HPR and Enterprise Extender and UDP. So you really need to look at that. HPR endpoints are responsible for error recovery and SNA flow control. Okay, and things like MTU size being too small can cause fragmentation errors and retransmissions, which can also cause performance problems. Now let's drill down a little bit more detail on Enterprise Extender in slide 51. As you can see, MegaMod from Mainframe Rack will show a mapping of UDP sockets to the SNA parties, and basically the standard is like 12,000 is high level, and 12,004 is low priority traffic. So we'll actually, as you see in the screen capture to the right, we actually show you that. We'll tell you the type of service, and we'll actually show you the performance on each of those sockets. So one of the things you may want to look at is if you're having slow performance, it could be that your application is running at the wrong priority, right? So let's say you have an interactive traffic that's running at low priority. If you have the wrong TOS type of service, not only VTAM will slow it down, but even some of the networking devices could slow it down. So that could explain some of the performance issues. Let's go to slide 52, and let's go a little bit more detail on HPR, high performance routing. Okay, and here again, there's a lot of different metrics that we capture for this. Similar to TCP/IP connections, we want to monitor retransmissions, response time variance, which I talked about earlier. There's something called ABR mode, which is adaptive array based flow control. It's kind of like a flow control, and you have this could go from green to yellow to red if you have congestion in the network, and they'll actually slow things down. Okay, so that could explain why you're having performance problems. So you want to monitor that. Okay, you also make sure that maybe your session is running at the wrong class of service. You know, this comes from the log mode. Again, we're going to show you that, and you could identify problems in that area. Let's go to slide 53. I cannot say enough about the expert advice. So when I put this presentation together, I was amazed at how much detail. For example, here's an example of HPR expert advice on path switches. I said, well, I don't know what a path, what is that? So actually I looked at the expert advice, and you notice the probable cause here. It says high CPU or lost connectivity. They give you what I would characterize as a runbook of recommended procedures even. It tells you some commands you can try. It says go check out the OS Express and CPU trace and so forth. Very impressive. So I strongly recommend you take a look at this as far as out-of-the-box expert system. Let's go to slide 54. And since Enterprise Extender runs UDP, you're going to want to look at the UDP statistics, okay? So basically, maybe what you want to do is put a workspace that shows both UDP and Enterprise Extender on the same screen, which you can do. Okay, so maybe UDP discards are causing problems with because it's going over the wrong port, right? Remember, you've got these ports because priority, okay? So this could be an indication of why Enterprise Extender or even HPR are having problems because of UDP. Again, I'm able to put all this on the same workspace because they're all related. Let's go to slide 55, and here we see the examples of NetView viewing details down to the session level, okay? So this is basically... I can look at the APPN sessions. And by the way, the VTAM doesn't actually have to be one of the endpoints to see some of this data. So if it's one of the intermediate nodes, it still gives you some information that you can see on the screen. I've done some screen captures that will see you, give you some statistics that you can gather. Okay. Now, if you're an endpoint, you can even get more information. In this case, you're seeing the log mode and you're seeing the transmission priority, okay? So this could be helpful as far as identifying what my problems are in this environment. Let's go to slide 56. And just like I showed you through NLDM, we can also see some of this information through the Civilized Enterprise Portal. Here I give you an example. We see the number of successful sessions on the screen, and we're also seeing the number of failed in a graph. So So if the number of failed sessions exceeds the number of successful sessions, maybe I've got a serious logging problem, or who knows what the problem is. Again, the point is I'm able to see this on the same interface that I'm seeing my Enterprise Extender and HPR and TCP/IP connections all on the same screen. So that's where the value of Netfuel as EOS really comes in. Okay, let's go to slide 57. And as we discussed before, you know, maybe the problem is not in the network, maybe it's in the application. Again, so I want to be able to do a dynamic link into in this case, I'm showing a CICS. So I'm looking at some bottleneck analysis. So maybe it's not as due to the network. So ability to switch between these different applications. Let's go to slide 58. In summary, when you're managing SNA to IP, it's a very challenge because you have to look at multiple things in the stack. So you're looking at the Enterprise Extender, HPR, and the underlying TCP/IP metrics, along with, you know, the channels and the stacks and everything else. And we're able to see all that through the typical Enterprise portal, as I've discussed before. And understand that Netfuel has a part in that because I'm able to look at the session awareness and the traces, as I talked about earlier. Let's go to slide 59, and finally we're going to talk a little bit about SNA as traditional problems. Let's slide 61. Let's see, where's the slide am I on? Yeah, oh, I'm sorry, slide 60. Some of you may be aware that in addition to the 3745 communication controller, there's an evolution of that, and it can now run on Linux on System Z, okay? We call that CCL, Communication Controller on Linux. So we have tools to help manage that because of all the components that you have. You want to manage the Linux, the ZVM, the NCP, the virtual routes, the buffers, and so forth. So we absolutely have solutions that can manage all those different environments. Let's go to slide 61. So for the buffer pools, we have, just like through the VTM API, we can look at the buffer pools. And for example, maybe I have a problem where the buffer pools expand and contract. We call that thrashing. Maybe the numbers aren't customized right. Those would be something you'd want to monitor. You can actually have a threshold to see some of that. Maybe you don't have to look at these workspaces. Maybe I just want to set some situations to be notified of a problem. Let's go to slide 62. CCL is running on the Linux and the ZVM. Normally, it's running on the ZVM. Okay, but so really, you want to manage both ZVM and Linux together. And we actually have a new solution called Megamon on ZVM and Linux. It's one of the few solutions that you can manage both. And here you're seeing view of the hyperchannel. So maybe I've got a hyperchannel, which allows you to communicate very quickly without going through a real OS Express or whatever. And here we're seeing, are we getting any errors on the hyperchannel? Is there any traffic going on? Okay, so we can actually look at that and say, okay, that's why I'm having a problem with CCL environment. So you have all that environment. So let's go to slide 63. And in summary, Netfuel and Omegamon can manage the CCL environment. For NCP, for mainframe networks, continue to ship with NPM and Omegamon 2. So that could help you with the old NCP stuff. That's included in the package. And then for NT, if you want to do tuning, and if you have Netfuel environment, we have the Entune mod, which still continues to run on that, will work in the CCL environment. Let's go to slide 64. Here's just a quick summary of all the IBM solutions I discussed today. So just kind of say, okay, here, Megamon, here's the things that it can manage for. This is just a high-level view. There's actually a lot more that it can manage. I just mentioned a couple things that I talked about today. Let's go to slide 65. In the summary, you heard me discuss a Megamon and Netfuel work together to solve a zero-com server problems. When I put this presentation together, I was especially impressed with the out-of-bounds best practices from the workspaces, like here are the three things you need to look at, to the expert advice that I gave you a couple examples. By the way, mainframe networks alone ships with, I think, 90 out-of-the-box situations. Okay, and you add that with all the other Megamons, you've got hundreds. Let's go to slide 66. And you can go for more information. I've got a whole list of things you can get for more information, such as Red Books. There's other teleconferences I've listed here. There's a live ITM demo that you can download that's got simulated Megamon views, so you can see what some of the workspaces look like, white papers, other and so forth. There's something called the network traffic analysis, so if you've got a situation, traces you can't make sense of, we actually have a service to help solve that. Let's go to slide 67. And basically, I just want to mention there are additional web server products, resources you can use. So there's the You can look at the latest WebSphere news and look at briefings and so forth. There's a website for that. You can look at the upcoming webcasts. I have a website for that. And you can also get what I would call newsletters. It's here listed as my support emails. So you can customize that to get customized emails about WebSphere. So that's the end of the presentation. Thank you very much, and I'll hand it over to the operator.
Thank you, Ernie, for a great presentation. At this point, Heather, we would like to open the lines for questions.
Thank you. The question and answer session will be conducted electronically today. If you would like to ask a question, please do so by pressing the star key, followed by the digit 1 on your touch-tone telephone. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure that your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. And once again, that is star 1 if you have a question.
By the way, while we're doing questions, I just wanted to bring up a live demo for, obviously, some of you may, if you're listening to recording, you won't see this, but you could actually see some of this if you download the ITM demo that I had the references. But here, what I did was I created a workspace that showed all the things we discussed today. For example, the ZOS management console, CICS, ZOS, mainframe networks. So these are things that I put together. Here's you get the workspace for NetView. And Linux, ZVM Linux. So these are actually things, and at the bottom I'm seeing some situations we're kicking off. For example, application data rates is low, or round trip variance here. So these are things that give you an idea. And here's basically some different statistics on different TCP/IP applications that I put together. I put this together in probably like 2 minutes. I created this view. And then I can actually drill down into the different things here that I may want to look at. So just give you a feeling the fact that there really is a very powerful interface. So I can go ahead and drill down into different views here and look at the connections and so forth. By the way, the machine I'm running in is a very slow machine because I've got a couple other things running on this environment. So just so you know. So if there's any other questions, feel free to go ahead and ask them. But you can, at the beginning of my screen, my presentation, you have my email address at egilman@us.ibm.com. Send me an email and you see more information. Here we can see different graphs here, like current byte rates, data frame rates, response time. If it's over 2 seconds, I wanted to see that, and you hear this one application at 2.59 seconds. Current retransmissions. And here you can see, you notice the little yellow here, I've got some problem on this view, and I can go in here and say the rate is fairly high. Maybe I need to highlight that. So just give you an idea of, I can look at this data through graphics, or I can look at it through what I would characterize as a table view. Okay?
And pardon the interruption, we have a question from Mary Lou Arredondo from the Federal Reserve.
Hi, Ernie. My question has to do with the SNA OSIS, the copper OSIS. Is Omegamon able to monitor activity there?
Yeah, we'll monitor the – you're talking about the OSIS Express, right?
Actually, they're the type OSE, not the OSIS Express. Well, they're the OSIS Express ones, but they're for SNA traffic.
Right. I believe for that I think there's a sub agent. I believe the sub agent will work for that too. I don't think there's a. I'm not aware of any issues as far as managing that. Have you had some problems with that?
Actually, we do not have Omegamon in our installation.
Okay.
I was just curious as to if Omegamon could monitor that type of connectivity.
And remember, depending on the workspace, we're giving different type of information because we're also showing the view by the device, by the gateways, and so forth. So we could things like max, you know, the MTU size and whatever. And then of course if you have the sub agent running, then we'll give you the more the microcode level. Okay. So yeah, in any case, you're going to see something there, depending on whether you have the sub agent running or not. But like I said, I notice a lot of people forget to configure the sub agent, and then it's why aren't they getting any data, and that's usually the most common reason.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
And we have no further questions at this time, sir.
At this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Ernie, for presenting today.